today's daf is Bambasa Daf Ayin Zayin. We are up to the top of Daf Ayin Zayin Amar Aleph. Today we're going to continue discussing the issue of how to be kone a shtar. So we're discussing this machlokas, whether osios or niknos b'mesira, or osios can even be nikna with a shtar. Can you be kone a shtar with a shtar? So you want to transfer a shibud in a shtar. The shtar says that Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, but Shimon wants to transfer that shibud to Levi. So how does that kinyan work? Do you need to do dafke mesiras hashtar, a giving over of the shtar? Do you write a shtar on the shtar? So we were discussing that yesterday. That conversation will continue today. The Gemara is going to question whether it's possible to really hold that osios cannot be nikna with the shtar, because after all, we seem to find, the Gemara is going to bring, a place where even something weaker than a shtar seems to work as a valid form of kinyan. And the Gemara is going to explain, no, that is not something that's weaker than a shtar. It's going to introduce us to the concept of a kinyan agav, that sometimes when you make a kinyan on karka, agav the karka, together with the karka, we also have a kinyan on the metalton or whatever it is, that one is being kona together with the karka. And then we're going to get to the Mishnah, Bez Hashem, on Ayin Zayin and Beis, and that Mishnah is going to discuss if a person sells animals, what is included in the sale? Meaning we've discussed selling a boat, what is included in the sale when a person sells animals? So some of the details those halachos are going to follow. So let us begin at the very top of Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. Amar Amemar. So Amemar comes to a conclusion over here. Hilchasa osios niknos b'mesira kirebi. That we paskin that mesira is good enough. You only have to give the shtar, and beyond that is not necessary to actually write a shtar. And that is like the shita of Rebbe, that osios are niknos b'mesira. That's the girsa of the Rashbam, and the Rashbam says that's the maskana of the Gemara in many, many places, that osios are niknos b'mesira. If you look, however, at Tosfos, Amar Amemar Hilchsa osios niknos b'mesira kasav Rav Yehuda Igon, the ain osios niknos b'chalipin, that osios cannot be niknos, you cannot acquire a shtar with chalipin by doing a kinyan chalipin. Or the Rabbi Natam Lerin Yira Degaras ain osios niknos b'mesira kirabanan, and Rabbi Natam and the Ri have a different kirsa, not that hilchsa osios niknos b'mesira, hilchsa Ein osios niknos b'mesira. A little bit of a change. Kirabanan, like the opposing view. Dahachi hilchso, maisi raya misof perek zebora. He says, that's halacha. And the raya is from the Gemara in the third perek of Masech Sanhedrin. Damra hi etzad denofak shtar mituse yada. Amra yadana ba'i shtar depriyahu. There was a woman that had a shtar. She said, I know that this shtar is a shtar prua. Himna Rav Nachman, that it was already been paid, that the shtar has already been paid. Rav Nachman believed her. Amale rava keman kirebi damra osios niknos b'mesira. Why do you believe her? Because she has possession of the shtar. And what? Possession is proof that she's the owner of the shtar and she's in control of it. That osios niknos b'mesira, amar lav mishum di baye kalte. No, the reason we believe her is because, not because mesira works for a shtar and therefore possession is everything, but she really could have just burnt the shtar if she didn't want it. If she didn't want it to come to light, she had an easy way to make sure that this shtar never sees the light of day. V'ihuch sakarebi. But if anyway we're passing like Rebbe, so what's the whole tone of that Gemara? What? You're passing like Rebbe? Osios niknos. No, don't worry, I'm not passing like Rebbe. We're really, it's just that she has the ability to destroy the shtar. If the halacha is like Rebbe, my parak Rava, Rav Nachum Nami, amai lo mahadilei, devadai nemenes mishum dosios niknos b'mesira. What's the whole tone? What's the whole question? And why the whole defense? No, I'm not passing like Rebbe. The answer should be yes, absolutely I'm passing like Rebbe, because that's what the halacha is. V'od, the kamarasa mikadamri lohim na Rav Nachman. And there's another version of the story that Rav Nachman did not believe her. Amalei Rava vayibaya kalte, and Rava asked, but if she wants, can't she just burn the shtar? Amalei kivin deschazik beidina yibaya kalte lo aminan. No, once it's muksak and beizdin, we don't say such a thing. Vahasha iyuchsa karebi amai lo parak Rava keman delo karebi v'Rav Nachman nami amai lo himnan nehidi yibaya kalte lo aminan kivin deschazik mikom lakom lahamna mishum dosyos niklas b'mesira. And if we were in fact passing like Rebbe, that whole conversation makes no sense. That the only reason to believe her, that to maybe believe her is because she could burn the shtar. Oh, but she can't burn the shtar, so we don't believe her. Forget about that. Believe her anyway, because osios and niknos b'mesira. Ella Tosa says, what you see from here is, de'ein halacha k'rebi. We do not pasken like Rebbe. V'adam Rabbi Misha Meis. What do we do with the Gemara later on? Im Meid Rav Amram Chasida Avalei Meluga D'Shtara Amr Lahavi La Amram Bri. She had a stack of shtaros and she said, "Let them belong to my son Amram." Asal Kameid Rav Nachman Amr Lei Halo Mashach. And Rav Nachman says, "But wait, Rav Amram didn't take possession of these shtaros." Mashma di mashachana. The implication is, what would it have taken for Rav Amram to become the owner of the shtaros? All he would have had to do is meshicha. He only would have had to take possession of it. So doesn't that imply that osios are niknos b'mesira? How can Tosos suggest that osios are not niknos b'mesira? So says Tosos, hani mili matna shchiv meira sheni yachalichtov de divrei shchiv meira k'suvim k'musurin dami. That's a different halacha. That's called matna shchiv meira. By matna shchiv meira, there are kulas in terms of what type of transaction has to be done in order for it to be effective. Since it's at the moment of death, things are things go much easier with a shchiv meira. So that is the shita of Tosos, the opposite girsa. And when Tosos quotes the Rabbi Yudayigon that ein osios niknos bechalipin, he's luchora trying to say like Rabbeinu Yonah, who discusses whether mesira works bitziruf a kinyan sudar or kesef or a kinyan agav instead of writing an actual shtar mechira. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, mitchila he thought that you could be kona b'tziruf kinyanim by doing a tziruf of different kinyanim, because there's nothing that's nikna b'shtar and is not nikna b'sudar, so maybe you can use at least a sudar. But then he says no, it doesn't even work with a tziruf, and the reason is because the Gemara said in yesterday's daf that you can't be mezakeh the guf hachov unless you say k'ni l'chahu v'kol shibude. So you have to say if you just verbally say that, that's mili b'alma, mili b'mili lo mekanin. You can't be makna mili with mili. So that was that first line of Rav Yehudaigon. That's what Tosos was getting at with Enosios Niklos Bechalipin, that even if you use the Chalipin in combination with a Mesire, even that's not good enough, that a Dafka needs to be a Shtar. So the Girsa over here, sometimes you have like a minor difference in Girsa. Over here, this is major. This is the difference between Osios Niklos B'Mesira and Ein Osios Niklos B'Mesira. Kirebi or Kirabanan. So the Gemara is going to say that how do you know this? Let's go back with the Rashbam's gear. So that the halacha is Osios Niklos B'Mesira Kirebi. How does a Meimar come to that conclusion? So I'm Leir Vashi La Meimar. Gemara or Svara? Do you know this as a Gemara? Gemara just means that you have it as a tradition from your Rebbeim. That's the notion of Gemara Gemirila. The Gemara says sometimes that we have a tradition. It doesn't, sometimes it means Hilchasa Gemirila, sometimes it means Halachal Moshe Misinai, but Gemara just means that we know it based on tradition. The Rashba writes that if you have the Girsa of Tosos, that you paskins like the Rabbanan, so Gemara Osfari means, do you paskin like this La Halacha based on the klal of Ein Halacha Karebi against Chaverav, Hilchasa Karebi me Chaverov, Velo me Chaverav, or is it a Svara? Meaning Gemara not being about this particular issue, but if you say that the Girsa is like Tosos, that he was passing like the Rabbanan, the Gemara would not have to be so specific about this particular issue. Gemara would mean, is this based on the general, Kalei Apsak, that you follow the Rabbin against the Yachid, that you follow the group against Rebbe. But the way we have the Girsa, where he's actually passing like Rebbe, the tzad to say that it's Gemara would have to be a very specific tradition that we paskin like Rebbe over here, because there's no klal and psak to tell you to paskin like Rebbe over here. So that's what he says. So is it Gemara or is it Svara? Amrle Gemara. That's the Kabbalah I have from my Rebbeim, because Eina Chinami. Misvara, I would not have thought like Rebbe, but I have to trust my tradition. Amravashi Svara Nami. Ravashi says, no, I'll tell you, Misvara also makes sense to paskin that Mesira works, that Osios and Niklos B'Mesira, that you don't need a shtar. Why? The Osios Mili Ninhu. Umili B'Mili Lo Miknin. Because Osios are just words. And words, someone who sells a shtar chov, it's words that he's selling, because he's not selling any usable object. He's selling the chov. The chov is an idea, it's a concept, it's a notion. And that, it makes sense that words cannot be acquired with words. So it must be that there's some sort of maisa that's done. That maisa Misa must be a Misira. That is how the Rashbam explains this. Now, according to Tosos, how are you going to explain this? So Tosos and other Rishonim say that Ravashi is coming to explain why it's not good enough to do a Misira. And he's saying that it's Mistaver, that saying Kani L'chahu V'kol Shibudei, Kani L'chahu V'kol Shibudei at the time of the Misira is not enough, because that's only words. Maisa Misira is not Misyachis to the Guf Ashtar, it's not Misyachis to the Etzem Achov. The Osios, which are words, you're not able to be Kona with words alone. And therefore, you need an actual Ksivas Shtar Mechira. Meaning, when we say that words cannot be nikkun with words, we're not saying that a shtar is not good enough, we're saying the instructions that we said in yesterday's daf that have to go along with the Mesira, K'nilecha hu v'kol shibudei, those words are meaningless absent the context of a shtar. To just verbally say those words, it doesn't do it. You need the actual shtar. So each line of this Gemara has to be read differently according to Rashbam and according to Tosos. So now the Gemara is going to tell us a number of dinim that were taught with regard to Hilchos Shtaros, specifically three dinim. From the last one, we're going to say that it seems muchach that a shtar can be nikna with just Dvarim alone. So after we said, oh, misvara, it's obvious that you cannot acquire a shtar with just words, we're going to say, not so fast. Maybe we see from somewhere that words alone can be enough to acquire a shtar. Says Gemara, velo, do we really not find that dvarim can be nikna with dvarim? Va'amar Rabba bar Yitzchak amar Rav shnei shtarosheim. There are two critical dinim relating to a shtar, that relating to the writing of a shtar and the acquisition of a shtar. The first one is, a guy goes over to two people and he says, Zechu b'sadeh l'ploni v'kisvelos hashtar. I'm being makna to you this field with a kinyan sudar, that you should make the kinyan on this field for ploni, meaning on behalf of this guy that I'm trying to give it to you. And by the way, I'm also appointing you a shluchim to write a shtar matana on this field. So I want this field to belong to Reuven. I want you to be kona it for him, and then write a shtar matana that says that I am hereby giving this field to Reuven. So that's your job. Chozer b'shtar ve'en chozer b'sada. Once you do that, the nosein, the guy who's giving the field, can be chozer on the shtar, but he cannot be chozer on the actual field. Meaning, he could then tell them, I changed my mind, don't write a shtar. But he cannot tell them, I changed my mind, it's no longer a matana. The kinyan works. The kinyan that they have done works already for the person that they're giving it to. You know, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Chavav, says that in a place where the minig is to write a shtar for lokech, the lokech is not zocha in the field until you actually write a shtar. So over here it seems not that way. That no, once there's, even if the minig is normally to write a shtar, once I told you to be kona the field for him, that's it. You're automatically kona. So the Rishonim explain, yeah, because over here it's not a lokech, it's matana. So that klal is only by a mechira, that the lokech is not somech daito ala mekach until he has a shtar. He doesn't assume that it's going to go through until he has a shtar. But by a matana, there's a smichus das immediately, because as we learned, that even though there's machlokas, lokeach, ba'in mocher, ba'in ra mocher, ba'in yafa mocher, when it comes to matana, it's of course ba'in yafa. That's the whole idea of matana. It's of course with the spirit of generosity and the spirit of giving. So certainly the mekabel matana has more confidence in the matana. Furthermore, it could be that our Gemara is talking about a place where ein kosvin shtar, the Ritva points out, that maybe we're talking about a place where it ain't close to the shtar, and therefore without the shtar it works as well. And furthermore, it's only by kinyan kesef where we say that klal. But if they actually made a real kinyan on the sada, they're doing zach l'adam shlo b'fanav. They're being kona for the mekabel matana with a kinyan chazaka. Who says it's just a kinyan kesef? A real kinyan chazaka. So then it could be that there's a smichus das even without the shtar, and that's why the actual kinyan on the field is going to work. The only thing that doesn't work is they could be chozer on the no saint could be chozer on the writing of the shtar. He already appointed them a shliach to write the shtar, but calls man that they did not do their shlichus and give over that shtar, he could be mevatel called that shlichus. Now, we had a Gemara a little bit earlier on Daf Mem that someone who says to two people to be zocha besada for so and so, I want you to be corner of the field for a certain guy, he doesn't have to tell them beferish to also write a shtar. Mistama, we assume he intends that they should also write a shtar because that in general, the one who wants to give a field to somebody else, the intention is to write a shtar that he should have a raya that that field is his. But if he's mocha that he doesn't want it, so then you're not going to write the shtar bal karcho. So that's how the Rashbam explains over here. You could that's exactly what's going on. He's still able to say yes, even though there was an instruction or there was an understanding that you're supposed to write a shtar. So you can write a shtar. You can make a macha and say that you don't want it to go through. Okay, so that was one halacha with relation to a shtar that if you give instruction to be kona of the field, write a shtar, the kinyan of the field happens, the shtar you can still back out on. A second halacha, al menas shetichtav lo es hashtar. Let's say you say to them, I want you to be kona of the field for so and so, al menas that he'll ultimately get a shtar, that you will write a shtar for him, and ultimately he'll get a shtar matana for this field. So then, chozer b'mishtar b'misada. Then you're allowed to be chozer both on the shtar and on the sada, even from the sada itself, because he never actually had a kinyan until the tanai was fulfilled. The tanai was that there be a shtar. If there is no shtar, there is no kinyan, and that's how the Rambam understands as well. Beferish in Hilchos Mechira Perek Vav, that you can be chozer until the shtar is in the hand of the mekabel matana. However, the Ritva says no, you can only be chozer before nechta v'nechta mashtar. Different stage. The way the Rambam, the way the Rashbam understand, you can be chozer up until the point where the guy actually receives the shtar, he's got it in his hand. Says the Ritva, no. Once it's been written, once it's been signed, so then you can no longer be chozer. They can give it to the kona even if the mocher is not interested in giving it to the kona, because the shtar is a raya bialma. You don't need the shlichus for the nesinas hashtar. It's just there as a raya. So even if the mocher says he doesn't want, he's been vatal the shlichus, they could still give it unless the tanai was beferish al menas shetichtavu vititnu. So we assume otherwise that it's just shetichtavu. So that's a machlokas rishonim in this second din. But then there is the third din, and the third din is going to be our focus. There are in fact three separate dinim relating to Ishtar, and clearly the Rashbam points out he's not coming to be chalik on the first two dinim. When he says three, he means I'm adding a third din to the two that you already said. Trei hadi amrad, two that we just went through. The idach and the third din relating to Ishtar, im kada mocher v'kasav es hashtar. If the mocher prepared Ishtar mechira before he ever sold the field, just have it ready that in case he ever wants to sell the field, that the lokeach should have it on hand immediately as a shtar raya that he'll be able to use, which is unusual. That's not the derech. B'derech klal, the order of writing a shtar is that after lokeach does a kitten on the field, lokeach pays a sofer to write a shtar that he'll be able to have a raya that he had purchased that field. But sometimes the bala sada is so desperate to sell the field, he wants to unleash his field as quickly as possible, he wants to get rid of it, so he's going to make it as easy as possible. So he'll find the sofer, he'll be makdim and write the shtar, so as soon as someone is going to be kona, he'll be able to transfer it to him. So kosa shoshaninu, and this is like the Mishnah says much later in the Masechta, that kosin shtar lemocher, that sometimes we're able to write a shtar to a mocher for a mocher who's trying to sell a field, even though the lokeach is not with him at the time of the sale. Why not? Why wouldn't you? What could he possibly do wrong with this shtar? I mean, you're writing it for the mocher. The mocher wants to take the risk that he's going to drop the shtar. Lokeach is going to find it and say, aha, look, it's my field, even though he never paid for it. That's the mocher's right. He wants to take that risk. Let him take whatever risks he wants. So no, the chiddush that you're kosher shtar le mocher is that it's your double Dvar Shkarim, meaning you're writing something that's a Dvar Sheker. The Lokeach is not there. He's not buying the field. Lokeach doesn't even know he's interested in buying this field. You're writing the Shtar before you even met the Lokeach, that you should have it ready when you meet a Lokeach who's going to want to buy this field. And here you have that the Lokeach is buying this field because you're angling to get this guy to buy your field. So it looks like Sheker. Even though it looks like Sheker, you're allowed to write such a Shtar in order to have the shtar ready. This is part of the issue that we have at weddings. Sometimes people are makbid by the ksuba that they won't write vikanina until the kabbalah's kinyan actually happens. Because how could you write the word vikanina when there was no kinyan? It's a little bit of a difficult question to understand. The whole thing is sheker. None of it has happened yet. I mean, the whole thing says and the guy said havili leintu kedas moshe biyisrael. They didn't say anything yet. Nothing happened. And we write the whole ksuba. No one sits there and waits for everything to happen and then writes the whole ksuba. That's the whole thing is. But it's not over shkarim. You only sign it after you do the kabbalah's kinyan. They only sign that it has actually happened once they do the kabbalah's kinyan. But anyway, so that would have been the concern over here, that one might have thought not to write the shtar for the mocher unless the lokeach is with him. No, even though ein lokeach imo. So kivan shehech zigzeh bekarka. Once the lokeach makes a kinyan chazak on the karka, nikna shtar bekol makom shehu. So he's kona the shtar without an additional maisa kinyan, because since the mocher wants to give him the shtar and the field, good, he has every right to do that, to be makna him the shtar. Vizui sheshaninu, and this is what the Mishnah says in Kiddushin Chavav, nechasim shein lamachrayus, nikna nechasim sheish lamachrayus, because of shtar v'chazaka. That if you want to be makna metaltal into somebody, it's very easy. There's a simple way to be makna all metaltal that you want to somebody, something called the kinyan agav, together with karka. You're makna the karka, and together with the karka, which is nikne bidarkei kinyanim of karka, kesef shtar chazaka, that's how you call a karka, you'll get the metaltalim as well. So what does any of this have to do with our discussion? We were talking about how to acquire a shtar. Osios niklas b'mesira, not niklas b'mesira. Do you need dafka mesira? Is a shtar good enough? Can osios be nikna with other osios, with a shtar? So here's why this relates. Just like we're saying that if a mocher wants to give a lokeach a shtar together with the field, he doesn't need to do any maisa kinyan whatsoever on the shtar. And he's kona the shtar, the lokeach is kona the shtar, all he's doing is a maisa kinyan on the field. And he's automatically kona the shtar, no maisa kinyan whatsoever. Kal v'chomer, the way the Rosh Bam understands this Gemara's kasha, kal v'chomer, if he actually does a kinyan with another shtar, that should work. That it should work to use mili. So don't say mili b'mili lo miknin. So this is so why does Rav Ashi hold that mili b'mili lo miknin, that you can't be kona words with other words? That's how the Rosh Bam understands the Gemara's kasha. So says Gemara, not a kasha at all. Agav shiny. Over here, it's not that you're being kona the shtar with nothing. It's not that, out of thin air, the shtar with no maisa kinyan belongs to you. No, this is what we call a kinyan agav, that you're making a very strong form of kinyan on the karka, and that kinyan that you make on the karka is such a major maisa that it works for the metaltalim as well, that kinyan is chal on the metaltalim. That's why the Mishnah says, nechasim shein lamachrayus niknim im nechasim sheyesh lamachrayus. How do we learn that? The Gemara in Kiddushin of Chavav, where do we get this idea of kinyan agav? Gemara in Kiddushin says, we learn from Pasuk in Divrei Yamin, when the matanos that the Yoshafat gave his children, the flame also, it says, v'yitein lamavia matanos rabos, lekesef ulzav u'mikdonos, im are mitzuros bi'Yehuda. Sounds like he was makna them, kesef, zav, mikdonos, im are mitzuros, since, together with, these cities that he was giving them. This is a very strong form of kinyan. Yeah, you can't bring a raya that you could be kona a shtar with other words based on the fact that there was no kinyan over here. Adaraba, there's a major kinyan over here. And the Gemara says, yeah, I'll prove to you that agav is a real strong form of kinyan. Ta matbea delo nikni b'chalipin, vagavar nikni. Matbea cannot be kona with a kinyan sudar. You can't be kona coins, money, currency with a kinyan sudar. Nevertheless, with the kinyan agav, it does work. Because agav is about the strongest form of kinyan that we have. That's one of the kinyanim that we do tomorrow with the mechiras chametz, or today for those who do mechiras yid gimel, is the kinyan agav, that we make sure that the guy takes possession of the karka upon which the chametz rests, and then agav, the karka that he's being kona, he does that with the kinyan kesef and with the kinyan shtar. He doesn't do chazak. He doesn't come to your house and null gadol uparetz anything in your house, because that would be very tedious. But we do a kinyan kesef, a kinyan shtar, and agav, the kinyan kesef and the kinyan shtar, he's also kona the metaltalin that are in that land, and even metaltalin that maybe not be in that land. But that's the probably one of the stronger forms of kinyan that we do. Rabbi Willig used to have in the shtar by dint of. That's how it was, the English word for agav. And then lawyers told him that no one uses that word anymore. So I don't know, is that true or not true, whatever. So they took out by dint, and now he doesn't. Okay, no lawyers know. So he took out that word. I don't know what, I forgot what word we use now. Okay, so to describe agav in English. Ki adar av papa avle treser alfi zuzei bechozai. Like, we find that Rav Papa had 12,000 zuz as a pikadon by people in a city called Chuzai, and he wanted to send Rav Shmuel Baracha to be toveya the money, to get his money back, because he had all this money by them. But he was afraid that they're not going to want to give it to Rav Shmuel Baracha. They're not going to trust Rav Shmuel Baracha with the money, because they're afraid that if they give it to Rav Shmuel Baracha, what happens if it doesn't get delivered? What happens if some onus happens? It's not that they didn't trust him. What happens if some onus happens baderech? Something happens on the way. They're going to be chayiv to pay it again. They're not interested in that. They want the don't want to have to pay again. So maybe they're not going to want to give it to him. So what do you do? He was matna the money to Rav Shmuel Baracha agav asifa de beisei, agav that is makna the threshold of his house, that's karka, and he did a kinyan, and he was makna that with a kinyan sudor or with a kinyan chazaka, and kiyasa nafaklape ad tavach, and Rav Shmuel Baracha went, Rav Papa went to greet him until a place called Tavach, because he was so happy that Rav Shmuel had brought this money back for him. But you see that the kinyan of the money works agav the karka. If it didn't work, then the anshei bechuzai never would have been willing to give him the money. Why exactly does the Gemara have to emphasize how happy he was that he went to greet him ad Tavach? So I'm not sure. That's how the Rishpam understands that it's telling us that he went to greet him to tell us that because he was so excited that the money, that he brought him the money. Rishpam says that Yesh Mefarshim, the Tavach, is the Emtza Derech, that he went all the way halfway along the trip in order to go greet him. And others say that that he went to greet him in order that he shouldn't keep the money for himself, that he was nervous that once I was makna him the money, so he has every right to say, oh, okay, I'll take it. And so you want to chop him as early in the process as possible to make sure he doesn't get any ideas before he comes up with an idea to try to be makna the kona the money himself. Okay, then another thing we just mentioned in the Mishnah, just to wrap it up before we hit the next Mishnah, is avalom achalos havadim v'loas hamartuf and v'loas antiki. We said amongst the things that you are not kona together with the boat are the antiki. Well, my antiki, what are antiki? Rav Papa iska dibegava. It's whatever schora you have in the boat. That's not, whatever it is that the boat is shipping from one place to the other, and you're selling in one place that you can be selling wherever you're bringing in the boat, the cargo of the boat, that is not sold together with the boat itself. The Rashbam explains two ways, that it's only called antiki when it's in the boat itself, like the pashtus, schora dibigava, the schora in it, that the Gemara says iska dibigava, or the Rashbam says maybe any schora is called antiki, but the Mishnah only needs to tell us regarding the schora that's bigava, because obviously the schora that's not bigava, even though you're planning on one day shipping it in that boat, that's obvious that doesn't go along with the boat. But the chiddush is even the schara that's currently in the boat, one does not acquire it together with the boat itself. Okay, so now that we discussed all about mochares hasvina, so the Mishnah goes on to discuss what about when you sell animals, mochares hakaron lo mochares hapradas. the mules pull a wagon. What if you sell the wagon? So does the wagon assume, is it assumed that if you're selling the wagon that it goes along with the mules that pull the wagon? So says the Mishnah, no. If you sell the wagon, it's only the wagon, not the mules that pull the wagon, it's just the wagon. Machras a prados, lo machras a korin, and vice versa. If you're selling the animals that pull the wagon, it does not necessarily mean that you're selling the wagon that they have been pulling for a while. Machras a tzemed, if you sell the yoke that's on the cattle, lo machras a bakar, that does not necessarily include the bakar themselves. Machras a bakar, lo machras a tzemed, and vice versa. So the reason why it says by prados, it says it talks about the agala, and by bakar it's tzemed, and by chamor it's kalim, is because that's all the derech, that's the derech of the use of these animals. That's what Rashbam explains. But in Rechinam, it could be any other kalim that they happen to be associated with. It's just that it's normal that that's what mules do and that's what oxen do. So fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer hadam modin. Rabbi Yehuda says we don't have to be a navi to figure this out. Look at the price. You know, figure out based on the price how much does it cost for a mule? Is he paying way more than the value of a mule? Then it probably includes the wagon as well. And if he's not, if it sounds about right for what he should be paying for a mule, so then it doesn't include the wagon. So Ketzad Amar lo mecholi tzmidcha b'masayim zuz. If a guy says, I want you to sell me the tzema, the yoke itself for 200 zuz, hatav yadua shein atzema b'masayim zuz. Everyone knows that a tzema doesn't cost 200 zuz. So that's a raya that he only wants to be kona that he wants to be kona not just the tzema. He wants the bakar as well. V'cham momrim ein adam raya. The chum say, no, you never know. The money is not necessarily a raya. The Gemara is going to say that whatever he's paying him more than the value of the tzema, we assume is a matana b'al. Or maybe in a chinami, it's a mekach kos, and you can nullify the entire sale and say that the whole thing is invalid because you're selling me for some ridiculous price. Someone came to sell chametz last night was telling me that there's a store that's selling like an apple pie for $95 for Pesach. He showed me the website. $95 for an apple pie. Unbelievable. You think it's a typo or something. But no, that's a... So sometimes that's it's made out of gold or whatever. That's what people are willing to pay. So anyway, so I don't know the context that came up. I don't know, selling chametz. I don't know. So you want to know the value of the chametz? Maybe I don't remember. But the dam is not always madi, and the dam is not always a raya. The chum say so. Says Gemara, Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Marav Kamed Rabbi Avo. Rav Tachlifa, who is from Eretz Yisrael, taught in front of Rabbi Avo, Machras a Karon, Machras a Prados. That when you sell the Karon, when you sell the wagon, you do in fact sell the Prados. Vaanan lo Machratan. Really? Do you? But doesn't it say in our Mishnah that lo machar, that it does not get included? Amrlei ismiyeh, should I get rid of that brisa? Should I ignore that brisa? Should I erase that brisa? Not every brisa was so reliable. Some of the brisas that were not from very strong sources, they were mistaken. So amrlei lo, no, you don't have to get rid of the brisa. Titargei masniseich ba'adukin bo. No, you can make that brisa work if you're talking about the when the prados and the karon are actually attached to each other. That in such a way, since they come to an agreement on the selling of the wagon, clearly they mean the prados that are with it as well. So if they're still attached at the time of the sale, that's when it's going to work. Rabbi Yon explains that even though we don't call prados a karon, but it's mistaver that he's selling the wagon in a way that's usable. So since right now they're connected to it and it is usable, and he says also the prados are connected, it's the derech b'nei adam to be kolel, to include the prados in to call the wagon by the prados and to be makatzer belashon and just say it, call it a wagon even though it's a wagon with the mules as well. But by the tzemet and the bakar, it didn't say in the brisa that, you know, we didn't have this halacha by the tzemet and the bakar. It never said in the brisa, macharas ha-tzemet, macharas ha-bakar. It was only by the karon and the prados that we have this. So it could be that there's no such, that even when the tzemet is actually connected to the bakar, it still wouldn't be included. Because no one would say, I'm selling you a yoke, and actually be referring to the animals as well. By a wagon, yeah, sometimes a person will say a wagon, and it actually refers to the animals that are actually connected to that wagon as well. So that's why Dafka has it over here by the prados and by the wagon. The Rashba has a discussion. You know, this idea that they're connected, does that work independently, or does that mean in combination with Hadamim Modiin, the connection, the fact that they're physically connected, also helps. Meaning, it's both the fact that it's an obscene amount of money for just a wagon, so it sounds like it includes the wagon and the animals, plus the fact that they're connected to each other. The Ravid holds that if it's a dukin bow, it's considered like the karun is like the tanur v'kirayim in a house. But the Rashba quotes others who say that the reason is that the dam is modin, that since there are dukin bow and there's extra money, so it's dam modin. So the Rashba says he thinks the Ravid is correct, that the damim is not a raya at all according to the Tanakhama, meaning we're talking within the Tanakhama, and according to the Tanakhama, money doesn't tell you anything, so it's not going to help in connection with anything else either. And yet the Braisa is still saying that sometimes when you say karon, you mean the prados as well. Okay, says the Gemara further, we had said in the Mishnah, macharas tzemed lo macharas habakar, that if you sell the tzemed, the bakar does not go along with the tzemed. And Rabbi Yehuda said, no, Modin, and the Chum said, Ein Adam Raya. So we're going to try to figure out what exactly is the case of this Machlokas. Hey, Chidami, what's the case where Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum disagree? If we're in a place where no one calls a bakar by tzemed, they call tzemed a tzemed, they call bakar, and they don't they never refer to more than one thing when they use those names. So pshita tzimda zabinay bakar lazabinay. So it's obvious, we know exactly what happened over here. He sold them a tzemed, he did not sell them bakar. The elo dekarle nami le bakar tzimda. So, and if you're going to say that we're talking in a place where they also sometimes call a bakar a tzemed, meaning they say, I'm selling you a tzemed, it means a tzemed full of bakar. So it turns out that a guy said tzemed, it could mean that he meant bakar, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, ooh, how do I know what he meant? How do I know if he meant just a tzemed or bakar? Damim odin, go look at the money, go look at the amount that he's paying, and that way you'll be able to know. So then, kulei zabinlei, then why wouldn't you say that it's a raya? Of course he's selling him everything. If damim odin, if some people actually call a tzemed, call bakar and tzemed together just by the word tzemed, and he said the word tzemed, and he's giving an amount of money that should really be for the entire thing, so why not? So says Gemara lo tzricha. Now the case is ba'asra dekarle tzimda tzimda lebakar bakar, that there are people that call, most people call tzemed a tzemed and bakar bakar, but v'ika nami dekarle bakar tzimda, it's a minority of people that sometimes call the bakar a tzemed as well. So Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda says in that case we're never sure, is this person in the minority? So Rabbi Yehuda says hadam modi, and you can look at the price and figure it out. Rabbanan Savri ein adam raya, the fact that he's paying more money is not enough of a raya to overpower the rove, the fact that rove people don't call a bakar tzemed. So since he said tzemed, we have the right to assume that it's just tzemed. That's what you have to assume. Tosus quotes a girsa that we actually use the word rove in this Gemara, that ba'asra deruba karele tzimda tzimda ulebakar bakar, and that's the girsa that it's all about the rove. The e ena dam raya lave bitul mekach. So I ask the Gemara, but wait a second. According to the Chachamim, if the money doesn't tell you anything, we should be mevatel the mekach. Whenever you pay way too much, we have this concept of bitul mekach. So you paid way more than 1/6 more than the value, so the mekach should be a mekach tos, and the whole thing should be batel. It's not what it sounds like from the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah says machar es tzemed lo machar es habakar, but it sounds like yeah, but kein machar es tzemed, that you did sell the actual tzemed. So it sounds like not only is the mekach not batel, but you don't even have to give back the demeo. No, it sounds like you don't even have to give back the overcharging. V'chiteima bitul mekach v'rabbanan leslehu, and if you're going to say, oh yeah, the reason there's no bitul mekach is because the rabbanan don't hold of the whole notion of bitul mekach, but that's not true either. V'lo, do they really not? V'atran Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mocher Sefer Torah behema margalis ein len ona'a, that if a person sells a Sefer Torah, an animal or a precious gem, there is no din of ona'a. Amru lo, and the Chum said, lo amru ela es elu, it's only by those things, avadim shtaros and karkaos, that there's no ona'a. Elu meaning the things that were referred to earlier on in that same Mishnah, but everything else does have a din of ona'a. So don't tell me that the Chum simply aren't Goris, the whole din of Na'ah. They absolutely hold of the din of Na'ah. So why in our Mishnah don't we consider the possibility that the whole thing is a Mekach Ta'us? So he said, no, my ain adamim raya nami diktani, davi bitul Mekach. We do consider that it's a bitul Mekach. We say, ain adamim raya, and therefore, the money is not a raya, that's what he intended to buy. He probably only intended to buy the tzemet and not the buckler with it, and therefore, the whole thing is a bitul Mekach. The Iba Yisema, or the other possibility is, ki amar rabbanu no, bitul Mekach, b'kdesha das toa. When do we say that there's din of honor, bitul mekach? That's only when it's possible that the lokeach could have made a mistake and thought that that's actually the value of the object. Aval b'kteisha ina das toa lo. But if he's giving so much money that there's no way he thought that there's the exact value of the object, then there's no din of honor or bitul mekach. Why not? He's paying $1,000 for a $10 item. How could you not say bitul mekach? Yeah, emur matana yahivle. We assume that he meant to give the extra as a matana. That has to be his intention, because no one in his right mind would have given this amount of money for that item. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up the Mishnah.